Would you do a quiz with me? Just a quick quiz. What do these folks have in common? What is it that is continuous between these different accounts? Okay, you ready? Jason and the Golden Fleece. Diogenes. And one honest man. Ponce de Leon and the Fountain of Youth. Have you figured it out yet? What's the continuity between all these? They're all... Okay, number four. Indiana Jones and the Lost Ark. Now, do you know what it is? They're all search stories. They're all narratives of quest. They're all tales that would invite us to go search and hunt for something that's important, something of consequence. A quest for something compelling with a purpose in mind that is crucial. Hold that in mind because I'm going to have you do just a small thought experiment. You know, we've talked about the Magi, but those aren't the only ones who show up at the nativity scene, right? So close your eyes and get out your 10 fingers and see if in 10 seconds you can come up with 10 characters or objects, all of which are part of that nativity set, the whole scene there in the gospel, okay? So close your eyes. I'll give you 10, 15 seconds to see if you can't, on 10 fingers, come up with 10 things. And then I'm going to have you share with your neighbor just really quick. So silence. Okay, to your neighbor. See if you can come up with 10 between you. Ready, set, go. 10 items, 10 characters, 10 things. Some are giggling. Now, it's hard because you have to think past all the Christmas carols to actually do the exercise. How many said something about a star? Okay, how many said something about a manger? Okay, shepherds? Okay, stable? Straw? Donkey? Cow? Okay, I just named off 7 or 8. What's left? Sheep, oxygen, no, oxen. What's that? Well, we did, yeah, shepherd, and I'm going to get to the wise men, because I want to make the case with you that, frankly, what is so strange about the picture is not all the things we just named together. What is so alien and out of place in the picture we just described to one another are these magi. In Koine Greek, it's magi. The Spanish say magos. In Old English, we might well have translated that word magician. These are the ones who don't belong. These are the ones at the scene who are the outsiders and the strangers. Weird clothes. Weird language. Weird food. Weird holidays. Weird manners. Weird habits. Weird motivations. These are border crossers. These are the uninvited, the unexpected, and who knows, maybe even the unwelcome ones at this scene. We would do well to remember that Matthew, the gospel writer Matthew's first audience, would have taken note of this particular point. He's the one, after all, who describes them in the most detail. I can imagine Matthew's first audience kind of reading this line or hearing it spoken aloud in their assembly and scratching their heads, you know, looking at each other and kind of twisting their head a little bit. Wait a minute, these kind of people are at the birth of the Christ child? These Persians, or what we might describe as modern-day Iraq? They would have noticed that they had different complexion. They would have seen that their hair was different, the shape of their noses. And of all people, These? Did anybody check their credentials? How did they get through the gate? We forget that the people of Matthew's time would have regarded these magi with skepticism and caution and suspicion. Dr. F. Scott Spencer, he's the New Testament guy from the Baptist school in Richmond. And I, just to prove that I read Baptists once in a while, he makes the point that these magi, of all the characters who are there present at the nativity scene, it's these magi who have the most at stake. They are the ones who have the most to lose. These are the ones who get there and have come from the furthest places away. The cost of their travel, they took chances at crossings. They probably had to deal with bandits and gangs along the way. Now, when we sing the Christmas carol together, we often see them sort of majestic in their train, right? In fact, we even use the word kings sometimes. The song says that, but the Bible doesn't. I mean, we got to be honest, just enough to say that we know very little about these persons. Did they spend every last dime for the hard and long trip that they took? Did they carry everything they possessed in a backpack? Did they have to take along their families and their little ones? Did they get thirsty? Did they get hungry? Did they get sick? Of all of the characters at the scene, it's these magi that had the most arduous of journeys. And we can only guess what sacrifices they made. We can only imagine the hardships they endured and the regrets that shadowed their progress. And all they were doing was looking for someone to hear their case. They get to the land, and all they really want is for somebody in the government to listen. Finally, after all the miles and all the effort, all the doubts and all the hopes, they get their audience with the king. And now finally they can tell their story. They can explain their dilemma and share the purpose of their travels. But of course, there's a problem. The king turns out to be a cynical liar. Herod, paranoid, narcissistic, cunning, sociopathic. Matthew quotes him, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, come and bring me word so that what? So that I can go pay him homage." Do you see it dripping off the page? If you've read on ahead, you know what this Herod does to the children. And the Magi almost bought it. The Magi almost got sucked in. But for what? Something happened, right? They did figure it out. But by what mechanism? Do you remember in the text? I had a dream. Matthew writes it this way, "And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." I think I do some of my best work when I'm asleep. Is that true for you? That sometimes it's those moments early, early, between waking and sleeping, between light and dark, when we're just kind of coming out of the haze, when something pops up. Something surfaces, something real and something true. Maybe a dream about pleasure or a dream about surprise or a dream about something that's frightening, but that's when the brain seems most able to make connections that any other time don't happen. It's in those wee hours that we become aware of something and we start to attach meaning to things that otherwise wouldn't have made sense. Here in our own time, who cares about dreams? If you've ever been to a therapist, they might ask you that question, right? Who else cares about dreams? I don't know, I look at TED Talks sometimes, and usually inventors have somewhere in their story, in their account of coming upon something, we'll talk about a dream that they've had. Revolutionaries have dreams, and people who pray have dreams. I wonder if Epiphany puts before us a kind of important decision, just as it did for the Magi, for those aliens of old. There's a kind of a fork in the road. The one way and the other way. One of those moments along the way when you and I just can't stand there. We got to pick one. We can go the way of Herod, frightened and duplicitous, self-serving and self-aggrandizing, or another way. The way of Epiphany, one that is conscious and deliberate and aware and earnest in a quest for what's real. No tricks, no shortcuts, no fanciful imagination that I could come up with. No, the truth, the real truth. Let me show you a picture. You look at his mouth. Can you tell who that is? We'll go one a little bit older. Now, you got it now, right? Who's it? See, somebody was just humming the song. Let me go, we'll go one more. If you figure out who it is. See, now you're partly exposing your own age. I had an 8-track player in my Volkswagen Beetle in, 1974, and I just kind of ran that tape dry. He is one of those great songwriters, and he wrote Home by Another Way in 1988. It was recorded then, and, well, Kelly was just humming it. I'm not going to do the whole thing, but just a few lines of it. I think I've shared it before. Those magic men, the Magi, some people call them wise or oriental, even kings. Well, anyway, those guys, they visited with Jesus. They sure enjoyed their stay. They warned in a dream of King Herod's scheme. They went home by what? By another way. Steer clear of royal welcomes. Avoid a big to-do. A king who would slaughter the innocents will not cut a deal for you. He really, really wants those presents. He'll comb your camel's fur until his boys announce they found trace amounts of your frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Well, it pleasures me to be here and to sing this song tonight. They tell me that life is a miracle, and I figured that they're right. But Herod's always out there. He's got our cards on file. It's a lead pipe cinch. If we give an inch, old Herod likes to take a mile. So keep a weather eye on the chart on high and go home another way. Jason, Diogenes, Ponce de Leon, Indiana Jones, the Magi, and maybe God are all on this hunt, all in search of what? In search of you and me. We tend to think it's our job to find God. Maybe part of what's going on in the story is the discovery that I'm the one being sought out, that it is God's own life and love and grace and embrace that's come after me. It dawns on me that God's dreaming about me, that God's dreaming about you. Amen.